Now, there we go. Well, first I want to say thank you. It's official. I can actually preach to you like a preacher today. Thank you, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart. You guys have meant so much to me. I've been praying for 2 or 3 weeks now just to, that God would control my emotion, that I might be able to preach when I open the Word. But before that, I'm so appreciative. We'll be in John chapter 11. You can turn there as I do my thank you and due diligence, but it's more than that. Brother Ivy, I love you. You mean so much to me and so many people in this building. Your demeanor, the way you carry yourself, is about the opposite of who I am at this point in life. And I want to be more quiet. I do. I know you think that's funny. I think it's funny too. I really do desire to be quiet more often and listen to God and speak less when I shouldn't. Brother Paul, thank you for your encouragement. You've always been an encourager. Ronnie Lee, I owe you an apology publicly. I love you, brother. And we've not always seen eye to eye. We have a lot of times and we haven't a lot of times. And no matter those differences, I have not always respected you the way I should, nor treated you the way I should. I love you. I'm thankful that I can still call you a friend today. I love this church. I love these people. I'm sad that it's not more full, but I'm happy that every one of you are here. I'm thankful to see the growth in young men's lives. Nick, Brent, Adon's not here. Michael, you guys mean the world to me. Jacob, Tabby. Tabby, you were the first person to call me the youth pastor when I was just volunteering. Means something. I'm thankful for Bill Pate. Sorry he's not here today, and I miss Bill Sherman. Bill Sherman was my hero. Thank you. I'm thankful for Pastor David. I'm going to use two of his phrases today. Thank you, Zach. You have come into a place that was trying to grow. You're different. Did everyone see him do this on Facebook yesterday? And growl, trying to pretend to be a gorilla. He's different. But you know what? I have grown to love Zach in a way that I don't love anyone else. He's a man of God. He loves to testify about God's goodness. He's a soul winner. He preaches a little too long. John chapter 11. I'm going to go through this a piece at a time because there are 44 verses this morning. It's the story of Lazarus. I have entitled this message, "With Jesus, life doesn't stink." Verses 1 through 4. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore her sisters sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." The first thing that you have to understand is that we have stinking thinking, to quote Pastor David. So many times the problems in our life are simply our perspective. How we see things, how we view things, how we feel things. So many of the things that we deal with that we would call problems, we create in our own mind as worry. So many of the things we see as negatives, as problems that are hard, as problems that we face, are all based off of how we feel and what we think with our limited vision. The first thing about life with Jesus that doesn't stink are the problems. Lazarus is sick. He's sick unto death. We know that he's physically going to die, but Jesus said this sickness is not unto death, but it is that God may be glorified. I don't know what it is you're going through. I don't know what it is you're facing today. I don't know what the problem is in your life. I don't know if it's sickness like Lazarus was dealing with. I don't know if it's hurt and pain of past and brokenness, if it's addiction, if it's family, if it's financial, if it's doubt, if it's prayer, if it's relationship. But the problem that you face, it doesn't stink with Jesus, because God is going to use it. God is going to take this very sick brother, the sick brother that Jesus loves, and he is going to use this situation, this thing, this place that Mary and Martha do not want to be in. Lord, this is hard. Lord, this hurts. Yes, life is hard. Yes, life with Jesus can still be hard. Yes, life can hurt, and life with Jesus hurts. Often, but it does not stink. This is God's plan for your life. This is God's purpose for your life, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Today, this is God's plan or purpose. He has either made what's happening to you happen, or he has allowed it that you might find yourself coming to him. If for nothing else, this drove Mary and Martha and Lazarus to go to Jesus. Perhaps they had tried the doctors. Perhaps they had tried the physical remedies for Lazarus' sickness. And they have now realized Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one that can heal this. Jesus is the only one that can save our brother. The problem that you face, the problems that we face, they don't stink. It would be easy if we didn't have to face trials and difficulties. But it would not be the way of God. Nothing good has ever come easy. Nothing worthwhile has ever been free. Salvation cost God everything. Everything in Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said unto his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and you go there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. The disciples then said, Lord, if he shall sleep, let him do, he do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they that thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto him plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto the fellow disciples, let us also go with him that we may die. The problems that you face, they don't stink with Jesus. The process with Jesus, it doesn't stink. God is going to do something amazing, and he's going to do it however he chooses. They didn't want to go back to Judea. They were persecuted there. Thomas didn't want to go and die again, to die with Jesus. He didn't want to go and risk his life and risk the persecution. Not over some sleep for Lazarus. And Jesus had to let him know that he is dead. Lazarus is not okay at this moment without me. The problem he's facing is something only I can deal with, but the process that I've chosen, Jesus said, I am glad because it will be to your benefit. This is the one whom Jesus wept over along with other things. This is the one whom Jesus loved dearly. I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there to heal him. I don't think there's anything wrong with praying for healing. I think there's something wrong with doubting God's will and way. I wish that understanding God's plan was always take this step, take this step, take this step, take this step, and one by one you could just follow along with the Holy Spirit knowing clearly what you should do. I have a feeling we would mess that up, but I would still like to know sometimes that process and how that feels. The process is something that God is using for his glory and for your benefit. He has done this. He has allowed Lazarus to die. He had the power. They're going to ask later, didn't he? Yeah, he did. So that they might see, be blessed, believed, and glorify God. 5 years ago, my father passed away. I mention it just about every time I speak anywhere. We praised God and we celebrated that Dad is in heaven. That doesn't make it easy. That doesn't mean you can't hurt over that. You can't cry over that. But that in that, you trust the process that God has chosen to bring himself glory. You have to trust the way of God. The problems you face are what he has chosen for you or allowed you to face. Everything you've ever been through, God is going to use it in some way, shape, or form to try and draw you to himself. Everything. God is not honored when we sin, but he has not wasted an opportunity to teach us and to draw us unto himself. Thomas is a classic doubter who thinks that if we go, it's over. Let's go anyway. That's no way to live in the process of God. Verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. It's significant because the Jewish culture believed that for 3 days they would let him lay and maybe he could come back to life. Maybe he wasn't fully dead and they weren't sure. In the Jewish culture, to say the fourth day was to mean that it's 100% guaranteed. Over. There's no chance anymore. It had been 4 days already. Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. I'm not a patient person. I'm learning to be patient more and more. And it's slow. And I don't like that. patience with Jesus doesn't stink. We want things. We live in the drive-thru world and we want it now. If we go to a restaurant and they take 4 minutes instead of three, it feels like forever. Patience was necessary. Why? God would say it's for His glory. It's for your good. It's for your benefit that you wait. It's for your benefit that you literally let Lazarus die. That you might see the goodness and the greatness of God. I think of this crazy J.G. Wentworth commercial, right? It's my money and I need it now. No, it's not. It's not yours yet. You haven't earned it. You haven't worked for it. You don't control tomorrow. You don't know that next week's paycheck is coming. It is not yours. This life is not yours. And you need to wait on God for the gifts that He's going to give you. You can't go out into this world and make it happen your own way and honor God at the same time. You can't go out into the world and say, well, I want to witness for you, Jesus. I want to go see Lazarus, Jesus. I want to go to Bethany, but let's go this way. Let's go around the trouble. Let's go around what we might see as persecution ahead. Let's skip over the pain, get to the end, and see what's going to happen. Let's do it that way. That's the way I would choose, Jesus. That's the way I want you to. You can't do that. You must be patient. Waiting on God to answer. You say, well, I've been praying for 10 years. Pray for another 10. Do not move until God says move. Do not quit working. Do not quit coming. Do not quit going into this world until God says stop. If He has called you to this church, there is not one reason for you to go somewhere else. Unless God has said you need to be here. For 10 years, I've been at this church. I was hoping it would be 50. I want to preach and pastor because I love people. I love the Word of God. But I don't really want to leave. I want to see God move, but I'd really rather see it here. You got to wait on God and His timing. And when He gives it to you, you got to go. It wouldn't be broken up. It wouldn't be dissension in the church among the believers if people were leaving for God. And it wouldn't be the same here if people were here because of God. If God has called you somewhere else, you do not need to be here this morning. You need to be where He has called you. This is not about the building, but waiting on God's answer. I'm pretty emotional all the time. All the time. I get loud and act crazily sometimes, just out of nowhere. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes it's wrong. I want to be like Ivy. I jump out ahead too often, too early sometimes. I know, God, You have called me to this thing. I know, God, You want me to do this thing. And you know what I do when I hear from God? I go right on my own timing. Jesus said, I called you to that, but I wanted you to wait till the right time. Are you waiting on God? Or are you just buying time? Doing the Christian thing for no really good reason? Or are you waiting on God? Are you trying to get to Jesus to get what you want? Or to see that He gets the glory. Martha's intent for coming to Jesus was to see her brother raised from the dead. I think anybody who has lost loved ones would love to see that happen, to have him back, even if it was just for a moment. But if you only want that for you, and I've been guilty, then we are wrong. God is who this life is about. His purpose and his plan, his ways. I'd love to see my dad again. I would never pull him from heaven if I could. I wouldn't. But I'd love to see him again. But you know what? The more I think about it, that's just so I could do it. That's not that God might get the glory for a resurrection. That's not that God might get the praise for a testimony that he might share with us that we could share with the world. That is just so I could have him for just a few more minutes. She wanted to, there's nothing wrong with loving your family, asking of God, but our perspective with Jesus, this doesn't stink. It's hard. It's not fun. It's not easy. It's the way God has planned. It's not the way I would do it, but it does not stink. We act like we're downtrodden and beaten up people all the time as Christians. Life is not easy. But man, this life with Jesus Christ is good. I face all of the things the world faces, but I think life is good. Not easy. Good. Because of Jesus Christ. He gives me hope. He gives me peace. He died for me. He saved me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing could for sin atone. Not works that I could do, not anything I could say, not anything I could make you think about me, but nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I am willing to wait. Because I know, while it doesn't feel good, it is good. Because I know this life, it doesn't stink with Jesus. Verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? One thing I think we have to get over today is that the present doesn't stink. He says, she says, Lazarus is dead. He says, don't you think he'll live again? Yeah, I do. Then, God, I believe, Jesus, Martha, I believe that you will raise him up from the dead. Then. And Jesus says, no, not then. I am the resurrection and the life today. In your life, I'm the resurrection and the life. It's the light that's the light to all mankind. Today, the present day doesn't stink with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You might be facing all the things that we've talked about up until now. You might be going through a whole lot more than I know, a whole lot more than I could explain. You have been through a whole lot more, some of you, than I could ever imagine. And yet I can tell you on the assurance of the gospel that today, life doesn't stink with Jesus. Jesus, you have resurrected us today already. He has literally saved a dead soul and brought it to life. Today you are resurrected in Jesus Christ. Lazarus, though he was dead, is alive the whole time. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Physically, Lazarus is dead, and yet Jesus had already resurrected Lazarus' soul from the dead condition that it was in sin. He has done the same for every believer in here, and he wants to do the same for anyone who doesn't know Jesus in here today. Not just then when you die and when you're buried and when you're laying next to your grandma and your great-grandma and every plot of family line that you have in this cemetery. Praise God that our family is going to be in heaven. But praise God that we know the power is such that today life doesn't stink with Jesus because we have already won the victory over any death that we will ever face. Life today is good. It is as good as God wants it to be for you today, in the sense that Jesus Christ has forgiven everything. God wants you to live and walk this sweet life. Not easy. This good life as a Christian. Having a good conscience about you. Knowing that you made much of God, little of yourself. You saw and honored and glorified God when he did work after work after work in your life. This is the same Martha who found forgiveness at the feet of Jesus as she broke open and with her tears and with her hair, she washed the feet of Jesus. When nobody would have accepted Martha, when everyone hated Martha and said, Lord, don't you know who Martha is? This is the same Martha. Broken at the feet of Jesus, needing forgiveness. God had resurrected Martha already. And she was thinking someday he will. But he already had. We know that he will because he has. Today, the present life doesn't stink with Jesus. Maybe you thought, up until this point, that's a funny word to use, stink. Maybe you thought, that's a young preacher thing. Doesn't stink. I want you to see this. This is why I tried to word it and reword it, and Zach could tell you. Anyone who's ever, the titles almost don't really matter. It's the content. And yet we still try so hard to make the title so important. We're going to go to verse 38. What's happened is everybody has, Mary's come out. She's gone to Jesus. Martha had gone back and gotten Mary. She had come and said the same thing. If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. The Jews who had gathered together, it was kind of their job. You celebrate with people, you cry with people, you mourn with people. That's what the Jews had, a group of people that did that. And they were there with Martha and with Mary. They were weeping. John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. He wept over their doubt. He wept over their faithlessness. He wept because he loved Lazarus. He wept. He cried. Verse 38, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself to the grave, came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone that lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, his sister, said of him that was dead, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, say not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said this prayer out loud. I said it, that they might believe that you have sent me. When they had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Her statement is the reason this title has the title that it has. I couldn't get over this. Lord, he's been in there 4 days. By now, he stinks. But she was confused. Death stinks. Life with Jesus Christ doesn't stink. In the grave, dead, lost with no hope, that would stink. But that's not where Lazarus was. Lazarus was in the hands of an almighty God who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life. You and I are so convinced because death is our enemy, death is sin, death is separation from God, that when we forget that God has resurrected our dead souls and brought us to life, we forget that death has no sting. Death has no stink for the believer. Only perspective. I miss my father. Death is not a problem. Sin was the problem. One day, God will get rid of all of it and we will be together again for eternity. If you can say with Jesus. Because without Jesus, life stinks. There's no hope. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no contentment. There's no answer for this story if Jesus isn't God, the God of all creation, the God with the power to resurrect. Not the God who can resurrect just then, but the God who resurrects today. The God who is the resurrection and the life. Without Jesus, life stinks. Men search the world and back. Brilliant men, much smarter than I, to find and to fill and to just to have a peace about what they're doing and who they are. Lord, who am I? God, show me. But apart from him, nothing. Death. And it would stink so bad without Jesus. I'm sure as all of us have seen a gallon of milk spoiled and rotten, knowing that if you open that cap, it is going to smell. But death has not just been creeped open upon us. It has been poured out all around us. All around us, we see death and destruction, and we know death stinks. But life with Jesus doesn't stink. If you are born again, you will not die the death of the world. You will have life eternal. Full of joy and full of glory. I have to wonder, was Lazarus disappointed to come back? Where was he in between? But I also know that regardless of that, it was God's plan. And when they brought this man out bound hand and foot in grave clothes, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. You were dead. I was dead in my sin, in the grave. And apart from Jesus calling me out, there was no hope. Death would have stunk so bad. But he called me by name. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He says, Caleb, come forth. He says, Brent, come out of that grave. He says, Nick, come out of that grave and don't live in the stink any longer. Because with me, I'm the resurrection of life, and it doesn't stink. When he rolled the stone away, you don't hear Mary go, nasty. When he rolled the tomb away, no children went running at fear. No Jews, as negative and hateful as they always are toward Jesus, make the remark, oh, please put that back. But they celebrate, and they hate it. That Jesus did this, amazed at his power, but still wanted to kill Lazarus again. You don't hear that smell. You don't hear them talking about that smell. If you've ever smelled dead flesh, a rotting corpse, you'll never forget it. It is not comfortable. But when they rolled that stone away, there was no stink because Lazarus was not dead. He was alive. Are you dead? Do you stink? Does life stink to you? Maybe it's just bad perspective. But maybe. Maybe your life is hard. Maybe your life stinks. Maybe you don't like where you're at. Maybe you don't like who you are and where you're going because you don't know Jesus the way I do. The way he wants to. Because with him, the same things that you used to hate before are worth it. The same things that you used to struggle with, you no longer deal with, and yet you praise God that that's behind you, that's dead. Some of the very things you weren't before, patient, you now find patience. You now find the peace and the joy that you were looking for in Christ with Jesus. Life doesn't stink. I plead with you, I beg with you, if you don't know for sure where you would spend eternity today, Zach, if you'll come stand here, Amy, if you'll come up. Today is the day of salvation. You are not promised tomorrow. You might have the stench of death all over you. You might be 6 inches from the grave. You don't even know it. But there's life. Abundant life. Powerful, precious, patient, peaceful, purposeful life in Christ Jesus. And you can walk in it. Today, if you're saved and you've had yourself in bad perspective, forgetting who Jesus Christ is, repent. Focus, the sign says. Focus on Jesus. 4 times the zoom if necessary. Get close with Him. Get a good look at Him and you'll see just how sweet, not easy, how good, not comfortable, life can be. Pastor Zach.